from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. When a devastating earthquake shook Japan last month, some residents knew it was coming. In this clip, you can hear the warning bells interrupting Japanese television. Scientists say we could be just a few years away from launching a similar system here in California, as Amy Standen reports.
The Japanese earthquake early warning system had some bugs. For one thing, the sensors underestimated the size of the massive earthquake. They also misjudged how much of the country would feel it. But to Doug Given, who has worked on earthquake warning for 30 years, what happened in Japan was proof the systems work.
The Sendai area, which was hardest hit, received maybe 10 seconds. And the waves took even longer to get down to Tokyo to the south. And so in Tokyo, they had 30 to 60 seconds of warning before the strongest shaking arrived.
Here in California, we have no such system, which means if an earthquake were to take place here, residents would have no warning at all. Given, who works as a geophysicist with the United States Geological Survey in Pasadena, says the technology for early warning here just hasn't really taken shape.
This has been sort of percolating along within the seismological community for a long, long time. And it's only since about 2007 that we started working on it seriously here in the U.S.
The groundwork is already in place. It's a network of 400 seismic monitoring sites scattered across California. One of them is near UC Berkeley, an unmarked door on the side of a hill. You could easily walk right by without even noticing it. Inside, the air is cool and incredibly still.
I'm going to guess we're about 50 or 100 feet below the surface now.
Richard Allen is the assistant director of UC Berkeley's Seismological Laboratory. He says this place is the Cadillac of earthquake monitoring stations. The vault was built during the Cold War to try and detect the vibrations of other countries' nuclear tests. Today, it houses instruments so sensitive that they can pick up shaking on the other side of the planet.
The way an early warning system works is it makes use of the fact that the energy that radiates during an earthquake is two types of energy.
The first are called P waves. They travel fast, but are relatively weak. Then come the S waves, which are sluggish but do a lot more damage.
So you detect the P waves, and then you can say something about the S waves that are going to follow.
Once you know how fast the S waves are traveling, you can calculate when they'll reach other parts of the state, and then quickly send out a warning before the S waves arrive. The problem is that here in California, that might not be a lot of time.
I mean, unfortunately, our faults go right beneath the metropolitan regions, and if you're right above the earthquake, even with an early warning system, you probably won't get a warning.
But the farther away the epicenter, the more warning you get. Allen says if we'd had an early warning system back in 1989 during the Loma Prieta quake, Oakland residents could have had 15 seconds of warning. That's enough time to close the toll plaza on the Bay Bridge or to open up fire station doors so they don't jam shut during the earthquake. David Oppenheimer, a seismologist with the USGS in Menlo Park, says there's a lot you can do with just a few seconds.
Elevators stopping at the next floor and the doors opening. Alarms going off in schools saying, you know, duck and cover with a voice telling you what to do.
And of course, consider major surgery.
The one example that I always like to give because people cringe is that, you know, somebody's performing cataract surgery on you. And obviously you would like the surgeon to remove the scalpel away from your face.
One application that gets talked about a lot has to do with mass transportation. In Japan, the alarm system automatically triggered a slowdown of the country's bullet trains. That's probably why none of them derailed. John McPartland, who represents BART District 5, made the case last week at a meeting in Berkeley of earthquake early warning advocates.
If we don't have this warning system and we've got trains that are traveling at 60 to 70 miles an hour, and if we end up derailing 20 to 30 trains, that's going to end up having one heck of a doggone toll and injuries and misery.
But so far, arguments like these have fallen on deaf ears in Congress. Each year, this program gets about $500,000. That's barely enough to continue basic research. Now, even that line item has been cut entirely from the president's latest budget proposal. Unless Congress reinstates the funding, the early warning program will stay where it is.
It's held together by duct tape and baling wire. It's not a reliable system. It's not a complete system.
Getting the system up to speed would cost a significant amount of cash, $80 million over 5 years. That's a tough sell. Japan, after all, didn't start building its warning system until after the devastating Kobe quake in 1995. Same thing in Mexico.
After the 1985 Mexico City earthquake, there was suddenly, for some strange reason, maybe having to do with 8,000 fatalities, a public will to move forward with the system.
It would be wise, he says, not to repeat that pattern here in the States.
It's our hope that we can get sufficient interest and build a system without first having to have a killer earthquake.
According to the USGS, the chance of a magnitude 6.7 or larger earthquake shaking California over the next 30 years is greater than 99%. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED News.
See a slideshow from inside Berkeley's seismic monitoring vault on our website, kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the Wincote Foundation.